One thing that having young children makes me think of is the things they say, especially when they're toddlers and they're just starting to talk and form full sentences. And sometimes they say things that make you say, "How old are you?" Like Kyson, who a few weeks ago said, "IKEA is my favorite place." What about IKEA is your favorite place? I like the food. How old are you? And then he says things that are maybe ludicrous, like he'll say, "I've been skydiving." You're like, "What do you mean? When did you go skydiving?" "Oh, a really long time ago." "Well, how old are you?" And then he'll scream and cry and throw himself on the ground and make us go, "I think he might have a demon." Which is just par for the course of anybody who's had a toddler or been around toddlers. In this passage today, Jesus says some things that make you go, "How old are you?" But also make the crowds go, "Do you have a demon?" So that's where we're starting from today. But I'm going to read the passage to us, and then we're going to talk about it. All right. I just lost my place for a second. Oh, but it's right there. Okay, we're good to go. The Jews answered him. Oh, and by the way, let me just tell you where this is found so that we're not... If you have a Bible, you can flip to it if you don't want to look up there. John chapter 8, starting in verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," Jesus said, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So in this passage, we see this confrontation. It's another one of Jesus' I am statements. It's not one of the formal I am statements. It's informal. But I wanted to cover it because of what he says at the end. "Before Abraham was born, I am." And what that says about who Jesus is. Because this passage reveals a lot about who Jesus is. Which is the purpose of the gospel. He clarifies who we honor when we say we worship Jesus, so that it's clear for all. I'm going to take a bit of an apologetic approach to this. I'm not saying sorry, just so we're clear. I'm not saying sorry, although I might have to later. But you can deal with that later. But I'm taking an approach where look at how this people will make a claim about Jesus and how we can defend it using this passage. That's what I mean by that. So the question is, who do we honor? And this passage reveals who Jesus is, reveals who we honor. So first, it reveals that Jesus is God. That's the most important step. It reveals that Jesus is God. Might not be as evident from reading it that it reveals that, but this is what it reveals. But today, see how that looks? Oh, it looks okay up there. That one's hard to read, but this is a common claim that you'll get from people. Jesus never claimed to be God. That's a common thing. They'll say, he never said, I am God, worship me. That's a common thing you'll hear from various worldviews when they're talking about Jesus. And then they'll say, prove it. Where do you see it, the Jesus claiming to be God? Well, you can see it in multiple places, but you can also see it in this passage. Because it's certainly true that he never said, I am God, worship me, with those words, at least that we have recorded. But he went around saying and doing things that only God can do. So he did, in fact, claim to be God. Truly, truly, I tell you, declared Jesus, before Abraham was born, I am. This is, as we've said in the previous weeks, the ego eimi, that term that is closely linked to when God revealed himself at the burning bush to Moses. And Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am has sent you. In Greek, that term is ego eimi. So Jesus here is claiming to be God. That's what he's doing. He's claiming to be God. And he's also claiming, as they have been debating back and forth about Abraham, about them being children of Abraham, well, Jesus is saying, I am Abraham's source. I am before Abraham. He doesn't say, I was born or created before Abraham. He says, before Abraham was born, I am, meaning I exist always, not just some point in time. He's claiming to be God. There are some beliefs that would say Jesus was created by God, but that's not what this passage says. This passage says that Jesus is claiming to be God. And if there's any doubt about what he is claiming to say in this passage, well, the second part, the crowd picks up stones to throw at him, because they want to stone him or murder him or execute him as a blasphemer, as someone who is claiming to be God. So this passage doesn't leave any room for us to really debate. Jesus is claiming to be God. He is claiming to be God. And the passage that follows directly from this is a story of Jesus healing a man who had been born blind. And the disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Which is a bit of an absurdity when you're like, who sinned? He was born blind, so who sinned? It's a little absurd, but Jesus says, neither. He was born blind so that I can demonstrate the glory of God to you. And Jesus heals the man of his blindness, but the man doesn't realize who Jesus is. And in fact, the Pharisees start to investigate this healing to figure out how this all happened. And they keep on saying, like, who did this? And the man keeps saying, I don't know. And they know who did it, but they're trying to discredit Jesus. They're trying to prove that he had a demon. And the man's like, all I know is that I was blind and now I can see. Well, after he is interrogated over and over again, he's released, and Jesus comes to him, and Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man who was once blind says, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. You've already seen him, Jesus answered. He is the one speaking with you. Lord, I believe, he said, and he worshipped Jesus. Jesus accepted worship. In this passage, with the blind man, he is claiming to be God. He accepted worship. If Jesus is God, he is absolutely worthy of all worship. So Jesus, clearly in this passage, he claims to be God. He reveals that he is God, which means he is worthy of honor, worthy of praise, worthy of worship. Just in who he is worthy of all honor, all glory, all worship, all praise. And then secondly, we get Jesus honors the Father. Jesus honors the Father. In fact, he says, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory or my own honor. The one who seeks it, the one he's speaking of, is the Father. He doesn't seek his own glory. He lives in humility, in submission to the Father to glorify him. And the Father, in turn, glorifies the Son. This gives us a picture of the close relationship of the Trinity, that they glorify each other. The Father glorifies the Son through his death and resurrection. The Son glorifies the Father through his obedience and submission to the Father. And in this passage, they accuse him of claiming to be greater than Abraham. They accuse him of claiming to be greater than Abraham. But as you go on and he answers that claim, he says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. You do not know my Father, but I know him. If I said I didn't know him, I would be, this is pretty harsh words, I would be a liar like you. But I do, and I keep his word. Jesus honors the Father through keeping the Father's word, through listening to the Father and doing what he says, through carrying out the Father's will. And in turn, it gives us a picture of how we honor Jesus, how we honor the Father, how we honor God by keeping his word, by striving to follow him and his way. And we see that Abraham grasped this and was glad. Well, Abraham didn't literally see this when he was walking around Canaan in the book of Genesis. But what we read in Genesis and we read in Hebrews is that Abraham trusted God. That he grasped through faith that one day the Redeemer would come, and he trusted the promise that God made him, that through him all the nations of the world would be blessed. He trusted. So we honor God through faith, through trust in Jesus. And today, we live in a culture of self-honor. We live in a culture of self-promotion, self-love, self-care, self-help, self-focus. All those things, not all of them are bad in themselves, but they have become an end in themselves, that we basically have turned ourselves into God, that we seek to honor and lift up ourselves and glorify ourselves. And Jesus really had every right to glorify himself, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He points everyone to the Father, points everyone to himself as the way of salvation. But he didn't come declaring, I am God, worship me, because he came to do the Father's will. But he still walked around doing and saying things that only God can do. But he did that because that was the Father's will. So how do we do that in an era where we want to say, I love me so much, which is a song my son likes to sing sometimes. So it's through seeking to follow Jesus and his way. It's through humility. I Googled humility, and this was one of the first pictures that came up, so that's why it's here. So I guess this guy's being humble in the meadow. But we humble ourselves before God as Jesus humbled himself before the Father. In the front of my planner that I have, my yearly planner, there's a section to put in your daily affirmations where you would say, I am this, I am that, I am this. And I wrote in things like, I am saved, I am redeemed, I am being sanctified by Christ. Because I don't need to remind myself how great I am, because I can do that all on my own. I don't need to spend half an hour every morning telling myself how great I am. I'm always doing that, right? No, I'm a little bit. Because we're really good at telling ourselves how great we are, for the most part. Most people are. Maybe not everyone. We need to remind ourselves how great Jesus is. I won't say his name, but there's a famous televangelist who says, every time I read Jesus say, I am, I just smile and say, yeah, I am too. Yeah, it's a little shocking. It's problematic. But when I was reading in a commentary this week, this is what, in the Zondervan exegetical commentary, it said this. When Jesus says, I am, we say, yes, you are, or yes, he is. So how do we honor God? How do we live in submission and fight against the temptation to say, I love me so much? When Jesus says, I am, we say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And amen. Because if I have to save myself, I can't do it. I cannot do it. The third thing that this reveals to us is that Jesus is the source of salvation. Jesus is the source of salvation. In the middle of this whole thing, as they're attacking him and accusing him of becoming a demon, he says these words, truly I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Even though they're attacking him, he's giving them hope. He's pointing them to the truth. If anyone keeps his word, if we take him for who he says he is, take him at his word, not as we think he should be or as we think he ought to be, we take Jesus as God, our King, our priest, our prophet, recognizing that he came humbly, but he is God. He is worthy of all worship, all honor for who he is, but also for what he has done on the cross. Trusting in his sacrifice. That when he laid down his life, he paid the price for our sin, for all our moral failures, all of our wrongdoings, the things that each one of us have done. That at the cross, there's forgiveness. At the cross, there's freedom. At the cross, we are redeemed. And through his death and resurrection, and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are given the ability to follow him, to obey him. We're never going to be perfect at it, but we're given the ability to keep his word. We can't do it apart from him. We need him. We need his sacrifice. We need the Holy Spirit with us to keep his word, to trust in faith and follow him. To take what he says seriously in his word, when we come to his word, to take it seriously. Sky Gitani, an author and speaker, has a book series called What Jesus Was Serious About, ... and it's whatever topic he's covering in that. But what if Jesus was serious about the things that he said? to take them seriously, which means we seek to live the way that Jesus has called us to live. Not as a way of guaranteeing our salvation, but because we've been brought into His family, He has given us the ability to live the way that He has called us to live. Never seeing death or having eternal life in the book of John means walking with Jesus, following His way. And we can all do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. I want to take another note on this as well. That's that Christ offers hope of salvation to all who repent. Because each one of us, I'm assuming, have people we love, know people who are not walking with Jesus. And it can be so easy to be discouraged about that, especially if we've been praying for them for years and years and years, trying to find ways to speak to them about it. But in this passage, Jesus offers hope. He didn't say some. He said, if anyone keeps my word. That means those loved ones that we have who might not be walking with Christ today, Jesus can still change their hearts and minds. So don't give up, but keep praying. Keep sharing. Maybe not hitting them over the head with it, but keep living a life that points them to Jesus and trying to find ways to point them to Jesus when appropriate. And keep trusting. There are people in my life who I'm praying for to come to Christ. And if we're all honest, each one of us has a story similar to that about our own selves. Generally, we come to Christ through the prayers of other people, through Christ working, that people have been praying for us. So keep praying. There's many stories about people who were very angry at God. There's a book written by Peter Hitchens called The Rage Against God. And he is the brother of Christopher Hitchens, who was one of the most prominent atheists before he died. And Peter Hitchens was right there with him for a very long time, angry at God, completely rejecting everything of the gospel. But one day, Peter came to faith. And he wrote The Rage Against God about his journey. Surprised by Joy by C.S. Lewis covers a similar story of a guy who was angry at God. But yet God still changed his heart later on. And those are only two stories, and there are dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of more stories of God changing hearts and minds. Maybe you're today here and you're like, I don't believe any of this. Well, I pray that God would change your heart and your mind. Maybe there is somebody that you're thinking about right now. Keep praying. Keep praying for them. So, who do you honor? Do you honor yourself? Or do you honor an ideal, a nation, a political party, or a politician, or a celebrity, or whatever it is? Or do you honor Jesus? And what Jesus do you honor? Do you honor Jesus as He says He is? The Jesus presented to us in Scripture? Take Him at His word? Or do you honor Jesus as you want Him to be? I can't change your mind, but I'd ask you to honestly assess how you honor Jesus, the Jesus that you honor, and hold that up to the light of Scripture. And are you honoring the Jesus as He says He is, or Jesus as you think He should be? As He is God. He is humble. He points the way to salvation, and He is the source of our salvation. Faith in Him, trust in His sacrifice, and then we follow after Him.